This is WBOY Presents. I'm Sean Beter. Let's get back to our conversation from the first hour of WBOY's Issues in Ales live event, a conversation on downtown development with Fort Wayne Mayor Tom Henry and Downtown Improvement District President Bill Brown.
What does success mean for this? How does the city of Fort Wayne measure success in downtown development? It seems like a very difficult thing to say when you're done, or when you've reached that level where, you know, maybe the city doesn't need to be as involved, you know, things like that. How do you know when you're done? How do you know when you've been successful?
I think perception is reality. I think if people perceive Fort Wayne, downtown Fort Wayne, as successful, then it will be successful, because you are the salesman of our city and women. I think the best example, as far as perception, I like to walk downtown as much as I can, and I was walking down Wayne Street the other day, and a guy drove by with his sunroof open, and he put his hand out over the top and gave me thumbs up. 4 years ago, he probably would have given me the finger. So I think, again, perception is reality. And if you believe that our downtown is successful, and I think all of you do, I hope you do, because it is, Fort Wayne has, thank you, but it's true, and thanks to all of you. Fort Wayne right now has unmatched momentum. I meet with 25 other mayors on a regular basis from throughout Indiana, the top 25 cities, and they constantly ask me, what is Fort Wayne doing that we're not? And that's a great position to be in. And I just say, I think our city believes in us. Mm-hmm. I think all of you believe in what we're doing. You believe in where we're going. You believe that we're not quite yet where we ought to be, but we're moving in the right direction. I think that's what makes our downtown successful.
I think we're going to get to some question and answer here. And Katie Anderson has helped produce this show, and she's been collecting and sorting through the questions that we have. We'll try to get to as many in the next few minutes here as we can. So let's see. This is from John. What is the plan and schedule for the Develop the Rivers project? I'm very interested in helping and seeing the rivers become the diamonds that they really could be in downtown.
Hopefully you all know by now that we have commissioned a study to be done. We did take the money out of Legacy, because Legacy money was identified as a fund to be used to take a look at our rivers. We commissioned a consulting firm that has international experience, not just national, but international. They've been all over the world looking at cities with rivers and how to capitalize on the rivers and how to turn them from a detriment to an asset. They're starting. City Council approved everything. They're going to start their study. It's going to take about a year or a year and a half. But the whole idea is to figure out how can we best use our rivers to, again, help make Fort Wayne all that it can be. If you're interested in working on recognizing that, there will be a series of forums as this consulting firm gets moving. We have a committee of about 12 people, a good cross-section of our city, working with them. But they're also going to be holding public forums. They're going to be asking for additional input, just like we did in the Legacy process, where we received thousands of suggestions and ideas, and that's exactly what we wanted. We're going to do the same thing again with the riverfronts. How do you feel that we could best use our rivers to help turn them into an asset, whether it's recreation on the rivers, whether it's development from the river's edge up to the top, whether it's along the top of the river, realizing that some of those areas are protected by federal government as far as levees, but not all of it. And if we have to go back a little bit in the property, what can we do as we move towards the river's edge? Those are all questions that I don't have the answers to. And that's the reason that we've hired this firm. That's the reason we're going to be asking all of you for input over the next year and a half, because the final product is where we're really going to invest the money necessary to make it happen. And that's going to be a great day in Fort Wayne when that project's finished, that's for sure. So be patient. As they begin their work, they're going to be asking you. If you have any suggestions right now, just call my office. call the mayor's office. I'll put you in touch with the right people.
And what's that number?
427-1111. Nice and easy.
Easy enough.
And if you forget that number, just call 311.
Bob Kaler with another audience question.
Okay. Bill, this is a fairly detailed question, so I feel a little bit like the professor saying, open your blue book, but it's worthy. Explain the relationship among Downtown Improvement District, the newly combined Greater Fort Wayne, and Vision 2020. Are all the goals and visions aligned? Do you think there's enough collaboration?
Well, I do believe it's, I think those are all great initiatives. And one thing we got to remember, we are in the infancy, if you will, of this new model of regional development, things like the Alliance, the Downtown Improvement District's been around a little longer. But Fort Wayne just got in the game not that long ago, a decade or two at the most. So as the capacity is built, these entities talk about capacity building. Well, the Alliance, Leadership Fort Wayne, and the Chamber have all co-located, some have merged, into a very nice location that represents us well. The Downtown Improvement District has signed a letter of intent, an MOU, a Memorandum of Understanding, to align with them. So what we're doing is, and I think if you go to the website of the Regional Partnership, Vision 2020, you start to understand that the Regional Partnership, Vision 2020, is the 10-county region. They're marketing us to the world, bringing in site selectors. The Alliance, Greater Fort Wayne, Inc., is providing product to sell to these folks that want to come to our community. The Downtown Improvement District, we work for the folks that own the real estate in the 91 blocks of downtown. And that's what sometimes people don't quite understand what the Downtown Improvement District is, but we are really a almost like a service company for those 91 blocks. So it is somewhat complicated, but if you go to the Regional Partnership's website, or you can actually contact the Downtown Improvement District if you would like to. Go to our website, and I'd be more than happy to chat with anybody about how those relationships work. I've been fortunate to have been on the boards of most of those entities. But I'm here to tell you the capacity is being built. We are positioned to become we're going to be a jewel in the middle of everything in the Midwest. But we're going to be small enough that people will be able to take part and feel like they have a part of the action, but big enough that you'll be able to get all the things you want in a big city. So I hope I answered the question.
We're going to continue on really for the rest of the session here with audience questions. We have many here. And one I'm very interested in, the news tonight raised the question of what happens to all the GE property in town when BAE moves to the airport. Any ideas? A big piece of property.
GE does have a huge piece of property. You know, 50 years ago, they had 10,000 employees there. That's how big they are. Now they're down to just a couple of hundred. They own the building. As long as it's maintained, as long as utilities are paid and the structure itself is maintained, there's not much the city can do. It's their building. We've asked them from time to time to talk to us about different options as far as perhaps turning it into some housing or incubator space for businesses and the like. They've talked to us, but they have yet to act. Now, as far as tearing the buildings down, of course, that would be GE's responsibility. Unfortunately, there's a lot of environmentals that they have to deal with. There's a tremendous amount of asbestos in those buildings. And for those of you that are familiar with asbestos removal, it's terribly expensive. So much so that it's cheaper for them to leave the buildings up, pay the utilities, than try to tear them down and pay the environmental costs. So right now, there's not much the city can do as long as they maintain the buildings. Plus, the polling that we've done, everybody loves the General Electric sign. If they were to tear the buildings down, that would come down too. So we've got a sentimental thing they're going there too. So.
Yeah. This is, you guys are coming up with good questions. Holy cow. K2 Olatowa wants to know, what role do the arts play in downtown development? Of course, we have those arts campuses downtown. What's the vision going forward?
Well, I think the arts, with the cultural district especially this rolling out, is this whole combination of coming together of the arts over at our center. That tells you something right there, that there's also this team play, if you will, with the arts. And knowing K2 and knowing some of the things that he's involved with, there are a number of broad diversity in the arts. And actually, the cultural district is something that there's a three-year plan. If you go to Arts United website, you can read about it. They've got eight different areas, Venn diagrams about how all that works. I had the good fortune of redeveloping a building that actually got turned into an art and cultural center, and there's a lot of folks that become very successful in that model. So I believe the arts are really, really a prized possession in our community, and they're going to continue to bloom and evolve.
Bob Kaler with a few transportation questions here.
We've got a couple of questions about transportation that I think flow into each other. Does the city see bike riding as a viable transportation option? How are they encouraging that? And maybe at the other end of the spectrum, are there other plans for expanding transportation downtown, particularly getting behind high-speed rail development? That could be a question for both of you.
First of all, I hope that you all have recognized that we've added a ton of new bike lanes to our cities. Trail or road system. I've gotten some complaints because we've had to narrow streets in order to provide the bike lane, but we've tried to do as much as we can downtown. We've spread it out to Rudisill and to other streets that surround our city, and that's all really part of our trail system as well. We want you to ride your bicycles. In fact, right now, Indiana Purdue University is going through a Sculpture with Purpose initiative, and they're building very artistic bike racks. And I was told today that they're going to build 50 of them, and I believe 38 of them will be downtown. They're going to be very unique, and like a lot of art, you may love it and you may not. But just remember, they're bike racks. We want you to put your bicycles there. So we're doing as much as we can for bicycles because we do think it's a great mode of transportation. Use the trail system. We've tripled the size of our trail system over the past several years, and we've added bike lanes. So we want you to, absolutely. As far as rail, I happen to be on a rail commission. The governor, I'm very fortunate that he appointed me to a Blue Ribbon Committee that we're talking about the whole transportation for the state network over the next 10 years, and that includes rail. We're trying to get rail back to Fort Wayne. We don't want you to have to drive to Waterloo to go sit in their bus hut, which they call a rail station. We're working very hard on that. We've got a great committee. Jeff Paddock, who is on our city council, is a part of that. I've got some staff members who are working with it. We are making some progress. Our governor is behind it. Our previous governor was not, and that was one of the problems. He did not think rail was important, as important to him as it was to us. Our current governor, Governor Pence, is behind it. So he's willing to appropriate some money toward it. It is a very expensive process, but we are pushing for it. I'm hoping to have rail back to Fort Wayne in the next couple of years. Now, that's not high speed. That's just rail. To put high speed is a terribly expensive, but we're working on it.
Yeah, that's great news, Mayor. Just a quick word about bicycles in downtown. A lot of people don't realize that just a couple years ago, you couldn't ride a bike on the sidewalks in downtown Fort Wayne. It was illegal. Well, our city council and the mayor's administration said, let's change that. So they did. People taking action, electing people that have the ideas in place that they want to implement. So now you can ride bikes downtown. Another form of transportation that I see more and more is, and today I'm walking over here and I hear this clackety, 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 clackety come behind me. And here's three kids on skateboards. And I'm thinking, are they going to run me over? But no, they're very adroit in their movement and they just keep going. So, but there they are, some youngsters, and they're cruising around on their skateboards. All kinds of transportation downtown.
We have about 7 minutes before we have to say so long for this segment of the program. A question about the Legacy Fund and the tree canopy of Fort Wayne. Is any of that money going to restore the canopy? And for some context here, I mean, between the ash borer, the derecho, the other severe weather that has come through just in the last few years, really, A lot of the urban canopy in Fort Wayne absolutely decimated. We've had to cut down thousands of trees at one point. So a lot of trees had to go away.
You know, I'm an environmentalist in many ways, and the whole ash borer and these invasive species, the things that come in and devastate our community and our natural resources, it's very unfortunate. And when these kind of catastrophes happen, I think it's really important for the citizens to take action. And I know early on with this whole tree canopy piece, as a matter of fact, my wife used to program the Great Tree Canopy Comeback and attracted hundreds of people to plant trees. And that brought in people, all types of people, to come and plant trees in our parks. Well, I'm fond of this story because the city of Fort Wayne came together with single stream recycling. And I'm going to connect that back to this key tree canopy. It was so successful that the mayor and the city council was able to give back $1 million. And that turned into a dollar off on your utility bill. Well, here comes the ash borer, which isn't much. People say, oh, that's not much. Well, here comes the ash borer and wipes out 15,000 street trees. Mm-hmm. In my mind, we want to work as hard as we can, as fast as we can, to get those trees put back. Well, there's a tree tax, or whatever you want to call it, that's available that would cost about 80 cents a month for a short period of time and go away and replace the canopy. Well, elected officials are, you know, they like to lower things, but they hate to raise things because people really get upset. But in my mind, there's two environmental issues. Single stream recycling saves money. The ash borer comes and destroys our tree canopy in many ways. Let's all chip back in and play team, pay 80 cents more a month for 2 or 3 years or however many, and replace that canopy. Get it done, because the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. The second best time is today.
Well, Bill's absolutely right. I can let him know, because the question is very timely. Today we finished cutting down the last of the ash borer trees, 14,000 actually street trees we had to cut down. We finished the project today. Now we have to go through and dig up all of the stumps. Then we have to go through and replant the trees. We'll plant saplings that will grow relatively fast, but we're going to put different varieties of trees that are insect repellent, for lack of a better word. But we're getting there. The legacy money, we did put some legacy money aside. Fortunately, we do have some additional revenue streams that we can now use. Thank you, all of you, for being a part of making that happen. We are going to be able to spend $3 million more a year now in our Parks Department, and that will go towards the replanting of the trees. So, Bill, you're spot on.
We have time for just one more question before we have to end this segment of our program. And, Bob, we'll give you the last one.
Okay. That's another good one from a member of the audience saying, safety in downtown, have more people moving into downtown and more activity down here. Has that been, has that increased or decreased crime and safety downtown?
I could speak to that, because I think a big component of this in a community, and actually it's been talked about in some of the other parts of the community, this whole concept of eliminating blight. I've been a big believer in this for years. Elimination of blight and beautification. Now, that's something everybody can do. Every able-bodied person can pull a weed and plant a flower. That's, once again, the community coming together. So you look at downtown specifically. Well, years ago, at ex on the board of the Downtown Improvement District then, we put together a program that was basically clean and green. We're kind of reformatting it to clean and safe. And when you talk about downtown, how do you measure results? Well, there's a living resume people continually talk about downtown being clean and beautified this year through our Groundhog Open golf tournament, February 6th. You can all play to help the planter program to beautify downtown. Because there's a known truism with community development that when people feel safe, they stay, they want to come back. That means they want to enjoy and spend money. So that whole concept of having a safe downtown. And I just want to get one word in about this whole concept of when you know downtown's good. It's this notion of a friend of mine, Hank Freistroffer, and I were over at the Brass Rail and chatting. And I said, you know, they talk about live, work, and have fun downtown. He said, Bill, that's too wordy. Live and have fun downtown. When you can do that, we know it's successful.
Very quickly, we have thousands and thousands of conventioneers that come into our community thanks to our Grand Wayne Center and its offerings. We survey everyone that comes in to a convention. We ask them how we're doing. One of the first things that they say in almost every survey, we feel safe walking in your downtown even at night. And if that doesn't speak volumes for our community, I don't know what does.
Bill, did I hear you say you were hanging out at the Brass Rail?
I have been at the Brass Rail a time or two with Eric, and I typically am out. But I've got to check out all the venues. So that's my job.
Just wanted to clarify. I lied. We actually have time maybe for one more quick question, and I'll just ask you both the vision question. Next 5 years, what do you hope we've accomplished, the city of Fort Wayne has accomplished, in terms of continuing to make downtown more vibrant? Bill, perhaps we'll start with you.
Well, we're going to see more people living downtown. We're going to see more opportunities to shop. We've got Holly Trolley Shopping coming up here a week from Saturday. We've got over 100 participants. That's vendors, 50 brick and mortar and 50 other one-offs. We're going to see more opportunities for retail. We're going to see many more people living downtown. We'll see a grocery store. We'll have a drug store. People will be wanting to live downtown. They won't need a car. I think that's another benchmark. They can live downtown and have a full life and enjoy their life. So I see it as great things, and I'm sure the mayor has got...
Mayor Henry, your crystal ball in the next 5 years in Fort Wayne.
Well, first of all, the next several years, we're going to see the ash development coming out of the ground. It'll take about 2 years to build it, but that's 300 more employees downtown. That's additional apartments, additional condominiums, and all along Harrison Street and Wayne Street on the first floor is going to be additional retail. And we're talking to some high-end restaurants right now that are extremely interested in this project. If it comes to fruition, and it will, we're going to get some more people wanting to invest in retail downtown. And so that's one huge project. Another one right now, we're having a study done on a sports arena for downtown. The Anthony Wayne Services, which work with the handicapped, they've commissioned this study to see if we cannot build a sports arena that will qualify as a Paralympic training facility for the Paralympics. And we're working with them right now. I'm terribly excited about that. You talk about a statement from Fort Wayne, Indiana, to say that we want to work with, and we invite the investment in those in our community who are mentally and physically challenged, I think speaks volumes for Fort Wayne. So we're very excited about that possibility. We also have more traffic changes that will be taking place. By this time next year, you're going to see Fairfield and Ewing two-way. Because many people don't know why they're one way for 8 blocks. Most one-way streets go all the way through town, 8 blocks. And that was because of General Electric we talked about a few minutes ago. Back when they had 10,000 employees, there was gridlock at 7 a.m. and at 3 p.m. So our city forefathers made them one way to move traffic. Well, we don't have that problem anymore. So they're going to become two-way in order to entice more business development downtown, because two-way traffic is better than one if you have a business. And we're going to have a new roundabout on Superior. You all love roundabouts, right? Yeah, you do. You'll learn to love them. Actually, it's going to be a fantastic new addition to downtown, because you don't have to stop your car. We all hate red lights. Well, There's not going to be one there anymore. So we're going to be doing a lot of incorporation of legacy projects that have already been approved, plus some new things. So we've got a lot of momentum over the next 3 to 5 years. There's no question.
Well, we're going to have to leave this conversation here for now. But big thank you to my colleague, Bob Kaler from the News Sentinel. Bill Brown, president of the Downtown Improvement District, and, of course, Fort Wayne Mayor Tom Henry. Thank you all so much for being with
us. Thank you.
Thank you.
This inaugural edition of Issues and Ales from 89.1 WBOY was produced by myself, Katie Anderson, and Virginia Alvino. Thank you very much for their help. Also, thanks to our general manager, Peter Dominowski, Leah Denny, our special event coordinator, Ed Didier, the guy sitting behind the board over there making us sound good, everyone at WBOY. And thanks, of course, to you all for being here and supporting public radio, supporting this kind of valuable conversation in your community. Thank you all so much for listening and for being here. That's all we have for this evening. Good night. And thank you.
That's all the time we have for this edition of WBOY Presents. A special thanks to Fort Wayne Mayor Tom Henry, to Downtown Improvement District President Bill Brown, and to Bob Kaler from the Fort Wayne News Sentinel. And of course, thanks to you for listening. I'm Sean Beter. Have a good evening.